This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 19th day of December. Christmas is coming. That's right. And tonight, way back there in the back, we have in our phone booth, we have Pastor's Mighty Men. They're mighty men. And they're mighty old men, but they're mighty men. They're back there. And we have Lee and Eric, and they're manning the telephones back there. And then we have, well, the board op extraordinaire, none other than he does it with a smile. His name's Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And right here in the studio, we have starting from right to right because no left is allowed or tolerated ever in here, right?
Right.
Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
And then you have Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And then we have Randall Barkley.
Good evening. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
All righty. They're all here tonight because they weren't invited anywhere else. No, that's not the reason. No, they're here because we need all the help we get, right? Alrighty. This is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week, folks. So we're going to start out, and I'm going to give the numbers. And Edward in PA was the last pledge. The last two pledges given yesterday were myself and Edward, and we both pledged $1,000. We both pledged $1,000. So we can see if we can get a match tonight. Can I get a match for myself? Can I get a match for Edward? $1,000 we have. Or can we get a match for Elder Barkley? 300. He pledged 300 yesterday. So the numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Wendy pledged 1,000. What was it? 1,400 and what was it she pledged yesterday?
Let me check.
It was. You have to scroll down. You'll find it. Where was it? There. Yeah.
1,486.
Can we get a match for that? You know, that's good. Yeah. All righty, so we're going to pick it up. We have quite a program tonight. We're going to go back later, and folks, something that happened some years ago, back in 1967, I remember very clearly. And we'll get into that. We'll tell the story. But we're going to first pick it up where we left off. The title of the message was, it was the seven centuries before Christmas. And we had started in Isaiah chapter 7, and we went to Isaiah 9, and then Jeremiah 31. And now we're in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up go ahead. Barclay, if you want to read verses 1 through 7, and we'll pick it up in verse 8, Richard.
Okay.
All right. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared."
Well, you know, at that time, I've been to Bethlehem, and it's a good-sized city, but at this time, it was a very, very small city, mm-hmm. and you had some very famous people that were born there. Mm-hmm. King David and Rachel, the mother of Benjamin, were born there. And here, we see that Herod is going to, we'll get to that. There wasn't a whole lot of young children there when they went to kill him. You know, just think about that. It's today, you know, we people say what a horrible thing it was, but we're doing the same thing in this country today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Planned Predators is worse than Herod. Yeah. There was much worse than Herod, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's for sure.
And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Yeah, he wanted to worship him, didn't he?
Yeah.
And when they heard this, now, again, we talked about that yesterday. Look, mm-hmm. Herod was a Herodian. He knew, he called his men. He was supposed to be the king of the Jews at that time, okay? Mm-hmm. Caesar had appointed him the king of the Jews. His wise men, his scribes and Pharisees told him where God had said he was going to be, where when he would be appointed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so here, this guy, is it a smart thing to want to go to war against God?
No, but it's a typical politician here, not telling you the truth.
Yeah. But I mean, today you had the very same thing, right? We talked about that yesterday, about how Nancy Pelosi, remember, as she stood behind, sat behind President Trump when he did the State of the Union address, it tore up his.
Yes,
she just recently came out and she blasted her bishop, saying, because he denied her communion because she's such a wicked woman. She's such a wicked woman. Yeah. And she said she doesn't listen to the bishops. She rebels against God. And she says, "I'll take communion even anyhow, with her unprofessed sin." You know, this woman. What happened immediately?
Didn't she break her hip?
Immediately, she fell and broke her hip. What does the Bible say? You know, when you do that, you end up sick or dead, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so he got her attention, right? You think old Nancy learned anything?
I doubt it.
No.
There's a special hot place in hell for these wicked people here.
Yeah.
When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child. Now, you know, this has to be an act of God. Remember, they followed him. Mm-hmm. They followed this star. Now, the Magi, the three wise men, they call them. The reason we say it was three, because there was three gifts given here.
Mm-hmm.
But kings do not travel alone.
That's right.
Kings always have an entourage with them. They always have bodyguards. They always have servants. So there was probably at least 100 people there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they came.
Well, when they stopped in Jerusalem and talked to Herod, coming into Jerusalem had to make a big fuss over that. So it wasn't just a couple, three men riding on a camel coming into Jerusalem. That wouldn't have even attracted Herod.
Right.
Right.
But so they had to be a big group.
Big entourage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it talked about not only Herod, but all of Jerusalem was in an uproar, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Because of this.
So here, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were come unto the house, now here you go. I'm going to take a break for just 1 second here. Sister Marcy Grace, Sister pledges 125. Linda in California pledges 100. Bob and Marie in Michigan pledged 100. Now, we had, that was interesting because we had two Bobs and Maries, okay, pledging. All right, very good. Thank you. Where's the applause?
Came through again. Yeah. You didn't hear it again?
No.
I heard him.
I didn't hear it. It's not coming
through. It's always that first one here. Ready?
Yeah,
ready?
There we go.
All right, very good. Okay. But anyhow, so now he goes on. And by the way, here, you know, we've seen this like the portrait of the Last Supper. You have these people sitting there with hair down past their shoulders. That wasn't the way it was. The Apostle Paul said himself, doesn't even nature itself tell you it's a shame for a man to have long hair?
Mm-hmm.
They have hair about like the way we wear it today, okay? And here, do you think if Jesus had that hair down to his shoulders, the Apostle Paul would have said that?
No way.
Well,
no
there are only three groups of men that had that long hair. One, where the barbarians that the Germans, you know, hired as mercenaries, and the others were the Sodomites. The male prostitutes had long hair down to their shoulders. And the third were Nazarites, okay? And
where they made a vow to God.
Yeah, yeah. They could never put a razor. Samson was one of those.
Yes.
Could never put a razor to his hair. And so here, is Richard coming through good? I don't know. I'm not hearing real good on my...
Yeah, we can hear loud and clear.
Oh, can you?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Yeah, because we got to make sure you're close enough to your mics when you talk.
Right here.
Anyhow, so, you know, we saw that. So we have an actual portrait in the church of the way it does look. Besides that, they had the women sitting at the table eating there with the men, and that didn't happen there then, like that, no. And so here, the same thing. They have the three wise men coming, and here they got the Christ child as a little baby in a manger. Well, it's not here. And when they were coming to the house,
there you go.
Yeah.
They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had opened the treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the Lord had to be over 2 years old at that time, okay? Not a babe in the womb, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And here, so here are the gifts. When the gold was indicating here his reign, his royal reign, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Frankincense indicated his priestly intercession. for them, and myrrh indicated his coming death for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so here...
The myrrh was like an embalming. Thought process of embalming, what we use for embalming fluid now.
Yeah.
It also had a very pleasant smell to it, too, that came.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor, the thing that stands out to me in that is not only the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh, but the fact that these wise men, full-grown men, and as you said, entourage, where they came in and they fell down before a small little child to worship him. I mean, we can kind of see that as a full-grown king or something like that, but just a two-year-old child, the reverence that he was due and that they gave him, it just really stands out.
Well, you know, there's a lot, Richard, of astrology and astronomy actually in the Bible. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, the zodiac is a picture of the gospel, basically.
Right. And, you know, in the stars, it spells that out. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And these men were very highly learned in that area there. And so they knew the scripture. They were very well, you know, with the Old Testament.
Well, mm-hmm. And I don't think they had any doubt that they were coming to the Messiah.
Absolutely.
The Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, as we're understanding this, we have Jesus' birth, and they see this star, and they're traveling, and now he's a young child, it says, right? So he had to be maybe 2 or 3 years old. So they were traveling
for a long time, for years.
Yeah,
they were traveling for years, and from their true belief in their hearts, knowing that this was the Messiah.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, the thing of it was, when God speaks to you, because see, we asked that question when the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in the dream and told him, "Fear not, Joseph, because the child conceived by Mary is of the Holy Ghost."
Mm-hmm.
Well, the question was, well, how did Joseph know that that wasn't just a dream? Well, when God speaks to you, you know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he made the same thing. So he had sent these guys years before. They had been out there. God had called them and sent them out.
Okay. Yeah, and they knew assuredly what they were doing, that's for sure. And that's why they would fall down at a child's feet.
Yeah.
Because they knew for sure that that was the Messiah.
Yeah. It's kind of mind-boggling, if you would, because I have little children now, and, you know, to see dad come in and fall down and worship at a child's feet. I mean, we play with them. We make all kind of funny noises. We do all of those things. But to look at that child and be like, oh, well, I need to fall down and worship you. So, again, it sparks my interest as they did this as full-grown, wise men, fully intellectual, learned of the scriptures and everything, and to humble themselves and to bow down and do that.
Just remember, too, that traveling in those days weren't like it is today. You couldn't stop at a Holiday Inn, right?
Right, right.
You had some tough times, okay? The weather, you were out in the weather and everything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take..." Now, here you have it. You've got three things here. One, he's speaking to the angel of the Lord, okay, which always refers to the Lord Jesus himself. The other, he speaks to an angel. It says an angel speaks to him. And then the third was the angel of God. It's referred to as the angel of God. So here...
I think you skipped verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Yeah.
Well, their own country was Persia, which is today Iran. Okay,
so they would have gone a different way, so they weren't going to be in King Herod's area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when they were departed, he told the angel of the Lord, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream. Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young man to destroy him." And so here, he goes on to say, and when he arose, he took the young man, and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That's Hosea 11:1. And so we're going to stop right there for tonight. Mm-hmm. We do have a song. We'll take a break right here tonight, early, because we got a lot to cover. So take it away.
Just a baby, your carpenter's son.
Yep, he's my Lord, too, and I thank him for it. Amen.
Amen, for sure.
You know what? We have a prayer request before we do that. Okay, Rose in New York pledges 100, and that's Lisa, or is that Lisa in Ohio? Lisa in Ohio pledges 500. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I heard the applause that time. All right, very good. We have a prayer request here. I mean, you know, one of the things that we really enjoy there every week, every Sunday, is praying for the people that send us, when they send us their letters, they send us their donations. Even if they don't send a note, even if they don't send a letter with it, we keep their address, their name and address, and we pray for them. We pray the Lord's blessing, that the Lord will bless them the way he's blessed us. So they get prayed for. Every week we spend a lot of time in prayer.
Mm.
But anyhow, right now we have a prayer request, and Brother Ron, who we used to often sit in with me on Friday nights, he would co-host with me. He's had some health problems, and right now he has to go tomorrow morning for a procedure. And so they've requested some prayers. Let's, all you folks out there listening, don't forget, always remember this, that God always honors your commitment. Listen, and let me tell you that those who show mercy receive it. And so join with me as we pray for Ron here. And one day when you need that prayer, people will be there for you too.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to just hold Ron up. And I know this procedure he goes through isn't one of the best, and he has to do it so often, Lord. Father God, and I just pray, Lord, that you would be with him tomorrow, and everything goes well. Everything goes well, and we know sometimes it can be very difficult and very painful, and Lord, that you would just be with him, and Lord God, that you might touch him, that he might receive a complete healing so he would have no more procedures to go through. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
What we want to do, Richard, we talked about this, and here, Randall, about the Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
I remember very well when this took place back in 67. It was during the Six-Day War when that was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the military at that time, and so were you, Richard.
Yeah. Yes, I was.
And it was very controversial because what happened, you know, we always considered Israel, one of our staunchest allies, our very staunchest allies. And here, when the word came out and it got out that it was Israel's, the IDF, Israel's Israeli Defense Force, attacked the Liberty submarine, or the Liberty battleship, that what was it? The Liberty was, it was a spy ship. That's what it was. It was an information-gathering ship. But it did have, you know, they were armed very well, but you had two crews on that ship. Mm-hmm. We remember one of them weren't really sailors. They were CIA. They were intelligence agents, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the other group were actual sailors that ran the ship, and they were not even permitted to communicate with one another. Mm-hmm. And what had happened at that time, just like Biden is trying to get us in a war with Russia now,
mm-hmm.
Johnson was trying to, we were already in the war of Vietnam, okay? We had one battle going on then, a big battle, that they wouldn't let us win. I mean, we won the battles, but McNamara would not let us win the war. He would not let us win the war. Every time he would come up something to pull back, do not win, we cannot win the war. So they would send us off to fight in wars that we weren't allowed to win. That's really what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnson wanted to get into that war. And some say that it was him that convinced Israel to attack that ship, that because on that ship it was filled with spies, but they were U.S. intelligence agents, okay?
Mm.
And listen, Israel and the United States spy on each other all the time. I know we're supposed to be good allies, but we spy on each other all the time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they trade, there's swaps and trades going on. Well, with that, we're going to listen to Candace Owens. And folks, let me give you that number out there, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. When this happened, it caused quite a stir, and it got to the point where we were told not even to discuss it. We couldn't not even mention it, discuss it. It was the hush-hush just like it is today.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but anyhow, go ahead and take her away.
All right, you guys, I'll get right into this. A couple of weeks ago, I received a letter that changed my life, certainly changed the course of my life in politics. And I'm going to read you that letter now and let you know that the author of it is sitting across from me. It reads, "My name is Philip Turney. I am 77 years old today. On June 8, 1967, I was just 20 years old when the gallant crew of the USS Liberty was savagely attacked. Our American flag was proudly flying on our ship in the Mediterranean Sea that day. The designation AGTR-5 was clearly painted on the bow, port, and starboard sides. USS Liberty was written in English on her stern. When we arrived on June 7th, we were overflown by Israeli reconnaissance aircraft, and the same activity was repeated on the morning of June 8th. We were positively identified as American and friendly by the IDF. We had requested a destroyer escort long before we entered the Mediterranean, but we were denied twice. Our captain assured us that we were clearly marked as American, and we therefore had nothing to fear. We were alone, 12 and a half miles off the coast of the Sinai Peninsula, always in international waters. The Israeli reconnaissance aircraft were clearly marked with the Star of David. We therefore felt secure, seeing a flying boxcar and other smaller recon propeller aircraft taking good care of us. The attack began at 2 o'clock on a beautiful, bright, sunny day by French-made Mirage and Mistral jets painted black with no markings. We had no clue who was attacking us, but assumed it was an Arab state. During the first pass-by, the jets took out all but one of our transmitting antennas, as well as every watertight door above the waterline. The air attack lasted about 25 minutes, killing and maiming our firefighters and any sailor who moved. Our radio man took one antenna offline, so it wasn't transmitting and wasn't hit. He ran a long wire to it, and the SOS went out to the 6th Fleet. It was even picked up as far away as Vietnam. Rockstar, Rockstar, under attack by an unknown jet aircraft. Help us, help us. Captain Tully, skipper of the USS Saratoga, sent jets to come to our aid. Before the jets hit the horizon, they were recalled by Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara. Captain Engen of the USS America and Tully relaunched more aircraft to aid us. They were also recalled, this time by Lyndon Baines Johnson himself. He said, quote, "I don't care about a few dead sailors. I will not embarrass my ally, Israel. Return to base immediately," end quote. How did he know who was attacking us if we did not? We were set up by our own government to let a foreign government have their way with us. The IDF even dropped napalm on the bridge of our ship. How low they would go, we would soon find out. Three motor torpedo boats headed our way, and one torpedo hit our starboard side. We saw the Star of David on the boats. They were there to sink us. The attack continued for another hour and a half. Attacking jet aircraft destroyed all but three of our life rafts, which we had put overboard. We were going to place our most seriously wounded in them so that they would have a chance at life, but the IDF would have none of that. They shot two of them out of the water and took one aboard their boats as a trophy of the kill. They continued shooting and killing my mates. They left and we thought that it was over, but it wasn't. IDF helicopters were sent with troops armed and ready to board our ship and finish us off. Then they just left. I guess the gig was up when the mighty IDF could not sink our defenseless ship. When it was all done, there were over 821 rocket and cannon holes and over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets riddling the ship. Napalm was burning us up, and a 40-by-40-foot torpedo hole was in her side, causing the ship to list badly to our starboard side. We then waited 17 hours for help. I guess they hoped that we would sink that night. Help was only 40 minutes away from us, but they left us out alone to die. When the USS America and the USS Davis arrived to help us, they took our wounded to care for them. Their wounds were so horrific, words cannot explain. Admiral Kidd boarded our ship a few days later, and the cover-up immediately began. We were ordered to never speak of the attack to anyone, not even with one another. Penalties would be fines, imprisonment, or worse, and we all knew that worse meant death. We have been treated like garbage for the last 57 years. Congress has been bought and paid for, with the exception, over the years, of a few brave lawmakers. Their names are Representatives Pete McCloskey, Paul Findlay, and Jim Trafficant. As the courageous Rep. Thomas Massey has noted, all Republican members of Congress except for him have AIPAC handlers. We can assume this is also true of nearly all Democrats. We are the most decorated ship in naval history for a single engagement. I believe God saved us that day to allow us to communicate the truth of this attack to leaders like you. We give all power to Jesus Christ. We are just his servants that horrible day and now. The USS Liberty survivors are the biggest whistleblowers this country has ever seen. We have been smeared as anti-Semitic, Jew haters, and Nazis. Our only sin is that we survived. We didn't kill anyone. Israel did all the murdering that day, and the U.S. government did all the covering up. I'm asking you to help us save America by telling other the facts about the slaughter of my mates. We are begging you to support us. Respectfully, Phil Turney, the president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. Great honor to have you here today.
Thank you, Candace. It's a great honor for me to be here and represent the gallant crew of the USS Liberty that had been treated so badly, as I said in the letter, for 57 years.
So I just want to start just really at the beginning, I guess. When did you sign up to be in the United States military?
I joined the Navy at 17 years old at San Diego, California. That's where I went to boot camp. I did two tours of Vietnam before I got aboard the USS Liberty. And I did three tours with her, including her last. So that was my naval career. And I got out of the Navy, and then I wasn't working at the time. I thought I'd never go back in because why would I go back into a place where people are going to try to kill me? But I wasn't working, had a baby. So I went back in and I got aboard the USS Maddox, DD-731, which was in the Tonkin Gulf.
All righty, we're going to get back to that in just a minute. In fact, right now would be a great time for you to call in your pledge while we're taking a break before we return back to that. The numbers are 888-281-1110. That's for credit cards, especially. Or 888-677-9673. Again, this would be a great time, folks, to call in your pledge at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Richard, I remember that very clearly when that took place.
Yes, absolutely.
And I remember it caused a problem because I thought, no, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. And then we were told that it was probably either Iranian or possibly Russian, with the Russian planes with the Star of David on them, whatever. Then, amongst us, the people in the military, it caused quite a problem because there were some that were very anti-Israel in the military, and some of us, to say the problem is today that you have here in America, and the same thing in Israel, there are people, that are extremists on both sides. First of all, here, God makes it very, very clear, okay, let me say this first. Israel today is a very, very sinful nation, like America. They're a very sinful nation. Mm-hmm. Israel has, they've had the largest sodomite parade in the world at Golan Heights. Mm-hmm. They've got a huge high abortion rate, prostitution. They're a very sinful country. Okay, now, like America, just mm-hmm. like America. But God's word in the Bible makes it very clear that in there that He says not to touch Israel, that he will judge Israel. God says he let him judge Israel, okay? And when you see these things taking place often, going against Israel, God, you know, God works, you know, he works continuously. It's almost like in a circle. There are those that God wants to punish. Some of those nations he will use to punish Israel. And, you know, therefore, then God brings his wrath on them, okay? Like what we've seen with what has been taking place over in Gaza, okay? Mm-hmm. But so when it comes to Israel, you know, I believe hands off. The Bible says that all nations in the world will be blessed through Abraham and through Israel, and they have been. Israel, like America, like most nations, and they need to repent. They do need to repent. But when it comes to Israel, I'm going to listen to what God says. God says, let him judge them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so
he'll bring his righteousness for all of these people.
All righty. Paul in Texas pledges 50. Let's go back and hear some more.
Which was another false flag.
Wow. So just as a question, I mean, most people, just being in the Vietnam War, I mean, that was traumatizing enough, obviously. So you came back and you decided that you were still going to serve the country. When exactly did you find out that you were going to be aboard the USS Liberty?
I found out when I got orders to go to the East Coast from the West Coast. I was on an ammunition ship then, USS Mauna Kea AE-22. And I said, well, great, I'm going away to the East Coast, and I always wanted to go there anyway. So I ended up on the Liberty. And when I got aboard the Liberty, they said it was a ship that mapped the bottom of the ocean. And I said, wow, how could that be when all the antennas are going straight up?
Mm.
But I was a dumb kid. I believed anything they told me. Until a few months after that, and I said, no, this ain't right. We're a spy ship.
Okay, so they initially said to you, you're serving on a ship, and they don't even tell you the truth about why you're there. So here you are, and they're like, you're just here to map the bottom of the ocean?
Yes, that's what they told me.
Okay.
Well, there were two different crews aboard that ship. There were 200 spies, CIA, NSA spies, and I was in ship's company, engineering. And there were 100 of us and with the other guys, bosun mates, cooks, things like that, to run the ship. Our only job, Candace, was to make sure that the communication technicians got where they had to go so they could do their deal.
Okay. And so when did you notice, when did it become apparent to you, how long had you been aboard before you went, I don't really think that we're here to map the bottom of the ocean? Did they tell you, hey, I'm actually in the CIA or I'm in the NSA?
No, they didn't. They didn't talk to us, and we didn't talk to them. We weren't allowed to.
Okay.
And so it was two different crews. And I you know, we figured it out pretty quick what was going on, you know, but yeah, it was so secret. I mean, everything was secret. Very, very secret.
And did you, just wondering how the setup is, are you sharing a room with 4 or 5 people? How does that work on the ship?
Well, I was in a bunk room with about 70 men.
70 men in one room. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was engineering spaces. And up forward was the bosun mates. That's where they had their berthing. The spies were in the back of the ship.
Okay. And so what's a typical day like?
Typical day was get up, take a shower, go to chow, go to work, stand your watches. And when we were out at sea, we'd sunbathe a lot because, you know, we were always off the coast of Africa. And we were doing reconnaissance there, up and down the coast, 4 or 5 miles an hour. All the time. And we just go up and down and up and down. We go to ports, different ports, Luanda, Angola, Abidjan, you name it, all the ports on the West Coast.
So it's beautiful.
Oh, my. Was it ever. Great taste, pineapples, everything. It was great. I love those people. They were good to us.
And you're also thinking this is very low risk. You're going, hey, in terms of having an engagement. I'm being sent out here. It's beautiful weather. We're sunbathing. Things are looking up.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was good duty. It was great duty. But on the last cruise, we were headed to Africa again, just like we always did. We stopped in Abidjan, and this was in June. And we got emergency orders to leave. We just got there, and we got emergency orders to leave, get everybody back aboard ship ASAP, and we took off for points. We had no idea where we were going, but the six-day war was what's going on.
Okay.
And we didn't know it.
Oh, you didn't know it was going on?
No, not till a little bit later.
Okay. So at this point, and just to be clear, how long had you been aboard the USS Liberty?
I did a little over 2.5 years on the Liberty.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah.
You had seasick, not seasick at all then, I guess.
I got seasick every time I went out for about a week, and then it was gone.
Okay. So now you get these emergency orders, and you have no idea where you're going. Are they giving you any information, or they're just saying it's an emergency, everybody get back in?
Everybody get back in, and we headed to Rota, Spain. We picked up three Marines. They were linguists, and a civilian, Alan Blue. He was he was killed, by the way. He was another linguist, but he worked directly for the NSA.
Okay. So he gets on board. You're in Spain now, and then where do you go?
We head into the Mediterranean, go through the Rock of Gibraltar and all that, and all the ships were going this way, going the other way, and we were the only one going that way.
Okay. And still nobody's informing you about the six-day war?
Yeah, we did find out that we were going into a war zone.
Okay. And what information, if any, did they give you?
None.
You're just going into a war zone. Prepare for anything?
No, we were prepared because our captain, Captain McGonagall, we trained all the time for different situations, chemical drills, fire, all kinds of different stuff.
And what's the general mood as you guys are heading towards there, the conversation between you and your shipmates?
Apprehension. In fact, we had the Star of David. We knew what was going on then. People had Star of Davids all over the ship, inside the ship, hoping that Israel would win because they were our best buddies in the whole wide world. And come to find out, they weren't.
So now it's June 7th. Is that correct, when you arrive into the Sinai Peninsula?
Right. We got there on the 7th, and the Israelis started overflying us then, taking pictures of us. Same thing happened on June the 8th. Flying boxcar, which is a two-engine plane. The doors were open. You could see the cameraman taking pictures of us.
So they're that close. They're that low.
Oh, yeah. You could see the pilots.
All righty. There you go. Folks, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the program, for all of those this week that have a pledge of $25 or more, we have Pastor Ernie Sanders' 50 years of exhilarating moments, untold challenges, and many stories in between. And those of you that have part one here, part one covers how we got started in the early days and some behind-the-scenes stories of What's Right, What's Love Ministries. And then part two, you have more exhilarating moments, folks, but you have Pastor Ernie answers common questions about Christians and politics, talks about taking popular stands, and shares some of the interesting guests behind-the-scenes stories of What's Right, What's Love. There are some interesting stories. I will say this, in 50 years, we haven't had one boring day. I have not had one boring day at all. Okay, Vicky in Colorado pledges $150. Vicky, so thank you, Vicky. All right, 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. 281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. I'm going to get back to that, but before we do that, I wanted to just, you know, talk about some of this. First, I wanted to say, you know, the Bible tells you, you know, we are not anti-Israel here at all, okay? We still believe today the Israeli people and the American people, the people themselves, you know, it's just like the people in America, for the most part, are good people. They're just, it's the government, it's the corruption. We have the deep state, just like we have our deep state, Israel has its deep state, okay? Communism is, you know, just a, you know, it's rapid there, just like it is here. But anyhow, so the Bible says those that are a blessing to Israel, God will bless. And those that are curse Israel, God will curse. And so we try to be a blessing by, one, telling the truth, okay? And, you know, our cry out to Israel is repent or perish, just like it is in this country, huh? Mm-hmm. To repent or perish. Yeah. But anyhow, I wanted to very quickly say this here. You know, Biden's perfect record of not prosecuting attacks on churches. I wanted to say this here to show you right now how very corrupt government we have in America today. Democrat administration even went so far as to invoke the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871 to accuse pro-lifers of being in a conspiracy against rights. And during just 1 year, in 2023, under the Joe Biden Kamala Harris regime, there were 436 attacks on churches. All of them violated federal law, and the Biden-Harris legal team prosecuted not one single case. Not one single case. They just had the two largest fines levied upon any university, with Canyon, with Grand Canyon University and Liberty Bell universities, for not being woke, okay? The two largest IRS. Biden is an antichrist. He is an evil, evil antichrist. And if you voted for Biden or Harris, you sinned. If you voted for them, you sin, okay? Well, that's according to the report that Washington stands that discussed testimony this week before Congress. The Family Research Council identified 436 attacks on churches just in 2023 alone. Irwin Hawley of the ADF told a meeting, that's Alliance Defense Fund, told a meeting of the House Judiciary Committee last year, Ariel Del Turco with the Family Research Council reported to this committee over 400 incidents of hostile acts directed at churches, including hundreds of acts, vandalism, dozens of arson attacks, and incidents involving guns or bomb threats. Sure didn't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, right? And so, however, none of these violations of the Freedom of Access Clinic entrances, a law signed by Bill Clinton in 1994, was prosecuted, even though the law explicitly punishes anyone who intentionally damages or destroys the property of a place of religious worship. And so the record hasn't been much better under the entire term of Biden-Harris. Since the start of the Biden-Harris administration until May 2024, the DOJ had brought a total of 24 FACE Act prosecutions against 55 defendants, and only two of these cases concerning attacks on pregnancy resource centers. To this day, FACE Act had never been used in defense of a church since it was passed in 1994. Alrighty, we're coming up to a break. We'll be back. How much time? Okay. Since 1994, charged subcommittee representative Chip Roy Moore from Texas. Be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. We'll be back with a lot more.
Fight the fight. Stand. Light the light. We are led. Let's come again.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.